As Pastor Andrew said, we are continuing our sermon series on the book of Colossians, presenting everyone mature in Christ. And we are coming towards the end of this sermon series today, and then next week will be the close of this study on Colossians. And today we're looking at chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Your prayers can make a difference. There was this story about once in a little Midwestern town in America where a local bar began reconstruction work to expand their business. And so in response, the local Baptist church started a campaign to block the bar from expanding with petitions and prayers. And reconstruction work progressed right up until the week before the grand reopening, when lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. So the church people were rather smug in their outlook, bragging about the power of prayer, until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was, I quote, ultimately responsible for the demise of their building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. In other words, the bar owner was suing the church for causing this building to be struck by lightning through their prayers to God. In his reply to the court, the church strongly denied all responsibility or any connection to the building being burned to the ground. And so as the plaintiff and the defendants, as they stood before the judge read through the plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply. And at the opening hearing, this is what the judge commented, I quote, "I don't know how I'm going to decide on this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not believe in the power of prayer." So, brothers and sisters, do you believe in the power of prayer? You know, if our prayer life is an indication of how much we believe in the power of prayer, it looks like most of us don't believe in the power of prayer. Because if we do, then we will pray more. We will pray more often. And if our participation in corporate prayer is an indication, looks like as a church, we don't really believe in the power of prayer. Because if we do, then more of us will come together once a month on the fourth Friday every month. Now we're doing it online. We will come together as a corporate body of Christ to pray and to see how God answers our prayer. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to remind us from God's word that prayer can really make a difference in transforming us to become like Jesus Christ. And corporate prayer can also transform us as a church so that we can make a difference, so that we will be empowered to accomplish God's mission for us. Let me say that prayer is not the last resort. That is, when we have tried everything else, then no choice, we just turn to God in prayer to see if it works. But rather, prayer should be our first option. It should be our first approach whenever we want to make a difference for our lives to the glory of God, both as individual Christians and corporately as a church. Prayer should be our first option, our first approach. So let us stand as we read the word of God together from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have given us individually and as a church a very powerful weapon, prayer. How you long for us to come into your presence and ask boldly like a child asking from his father. Father, how we must have grieved you because of our weak and tentative asking. May your Holy Spirit this morning teach us from your word that prayer can really make a difference in our lives and in our church. For our Lord Jesus' sake, amen. Our scripture passage for today shows how prayer can make a difference in our lives and in our ministry, in our spheres of influence, and of course in our community here within the church. So first of all, let's look at how prayer changes our perspectives. Verse 2, Paul says here, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And the NIV, the older versions, reads, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So to devote ourselves to prayer means we take extra effort, we take the time, we take specific steps to make prayer an important part of our life. Prayer becomes the priority. We carve out time individually and as well as a church to pray. But if we don't make time for prayer, then the devil will come and distract us with many other things to do. Of course, the devil's purpose is to make us depend on our human strength and wisdom rather than depending on God in prayer. Remember, one of our core values as a church is prayerful dependence. And the devil would like to cause us to serve God or to do his work in our own human strength rather than prayerful dependence upon God. But when we devote ourselves to prayer, when we continue steadfastly in prayer, we choose to depend on God to accomplish his mission in and through us. So, brothers and sisters, let us devote ourselves to prayer. Hold up your spouse before God. Hold up your children before God. Hold up your pastors before God. Hold this church up before God and its leaders as we make a crucial decision for the direction of the church. Hold up the lost people in this community before God. And then begin to thank him in advance that he is going to do his work in our midst through us. And don't stop praying until God accomplishes everything he desires to do in and through us. And as you begin to devote yourselves to prayer, let me assure you, you are going to be drawn closer and closer to Jesus, because prayer is talking with God. And when you talk with God, the relationship that you and I have with God will grow deeper and more intimate. And so the more you and I pray, the more we will understand what is upon his heart, what the will of God is. The more you and I pray, the more we will open up our hearts and our minds to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us. And as we draw closer to God, we will begin to see things from his perspective. That's why I put it as my first point here, that prayer changes our perspective. And one of the first things that prayer does in changing our perspective is making us more aware of and be alert to danger. That is what it means by the word watchful, be watchful. Now, what danger, you may ask? Remember, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he wants to destroy everything that God is working and doing in our lives. prayer helps us to be watchful for the schemes and traps of the enemy. It makes us watchful for what the enemy is trying to do to trip us up and to set us back. So prayer makes us aware of the danger and the pitfalls that the devil will set for us. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 to 7. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. You see, when we are watchful in prayer, we are like the watchmen in the ancient city of Jerusalem, standing on guard at night on the walls of Jerusalem. Why did watchmen stand on the wall back then? You see, they stood on the wall to watch out for enemies, any surprise attack by the enemy. So in that sense, this watchmen were the first line of defense. They were doing warfare. And that's why we call prayer spiritual warfare. So let me paraphrase what God is saying to us here in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 to 7, in my paraphrase. So this is what God is saying to us. God is giving us an invitation. God is saying, you remind me, you remind the Lord, you who pray, don't you rest and never give God any rest until God establishes and accomplishes everything he wants to do in and through us. So the question is, remind God of what? Remind God of all his promises. Remind God of his goodness. Remind God of his love, his mercy, and his grace for people. Now, why do I need to remind God of all that? Surely God doesn't need any reminding by us, right? Of course not. He doesn't. But what we do, what we are doing when we pray and, in a sense, remind God, we are, in a true sense, reminding ourselves of who God is, of his character and the promises that he has made to us, that he's a God of love, he's a God of mercy, and he will answer our prayer and keep his promises. So when we remind God, we are affirming our faith in God, in who he is, and the promises that he made to us. So that's what prayer does. It changes our perspective. It helps us to be watchful. It helps us to be discerning. There's a second aspect of how prayer can change our perspective. And that is, it helps us, it reminds us of the blessings in Christ and how we need to share these blessings with others. We are not only to be watchful, but we are also to be thankful. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are thankful to God, it changes our perspectives altogether from focusing on our problems to focusing on God's blessings on our lives. In other words, we start counting our blessings rather than complaining about what we do not have. Throughout this circuit breaker, the pastors and I, we have been visiting CGs online. And one of the things that I really enjoy, you know, joining some of your CGs online, is to hear how our church members, despite the circuit breaker, despite some of the inconveniences, many shared about how throughout the circuit breaker, they can truly count their blessing. One of which is that because of more time spent at home, they and their family members have greater interaction. And some said, I can interact more with my children, my son or my daughter. And of course, I'm sure many of us can say that during this circuit breaker, we are drawn closer to God. We can spend more time reading His Word, in praying, and also go on the internet to listen to worship song as we worship God privately. So instead of looking at the problems that we encounter, we can truly be thankful by counting our blessings. And this is what prayer can do. It changes our perspective. It makes us watchful, more discerning, and it makes us more thankful rather than complaining. Then secondly, prayer opens up opportunities, verses 3 and 4. So let me read Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So remember, Paul was writing this letter to the church in Colossae while he was in prison. He was writing to a church that he had never seen before. He's been accused of treason, proclaiming Christ as King and Lord. He had multiple trials before two governors named Felix and Festus, and also before a king named Agrippa. Now, while he was waiting for his accusers to come to Rome to testify against him, he was in prison. Now, let me ask you, if you and I were in Paul's situation, what would you be praying for? You see, for most people, they would pray for a successful trial, maybe release from prison, and after that, a long Mediterranean vacation, a chance to rest and do the things that we can't do while we were in prison. Most of us would do that. But that's not what Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him. Instead, he asked them to pray that he may have opportunity to share Christ while he was in prison. He could have asked for prayer that God would change his circumstances, but he didn't. Instead, he asked that in those circumstances, a negative circumstance, God would give him the opportunity to spread the gospel. So Paul is praying for an open door. But the door that he wants open is not the prison door, but it is an open door of opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I may paraphrase what Paul is requesting the Colossian believers in verses 3 and 4, he's saying, pray that God may open a door for me to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ very clearly while I'm in prison. So prayer is where outreach starts. Praying for an open door to say something about our faith. Praying that when that door opens, we will say something that makes sense, that people will understand. Prayer can turn our adverse circumstances into opportunities to share the gospel with other people. God opens closed doors for us to share the message of salvation with people when you and I persevere in prayer. So do you have friends whose hearts are closed? You might have loved ones and relatives whose hearts are closed to the gospel. You think to yourself, how in this world can I penetrate that? Closed hearts and closed mind. How can I make a breakthrough? The answer is in our text. Closed doors and closed hearts can only be opened through persistent, passionate praying. Auntie Sohyang was the matron of Singapore General Hospital. This was quite some years ago. And her husband, I call him Uncle Tan, was warded in the hospital for some serious heart problems. And Uncle Tan was the patriarch of an extended 3 or 4 generation family living in a pre-war bungalow along Pasir Panjang Road. I was a pastor. If I remember correctly, Pastor Andrew was there with me as well, and Selena also, right? And I was one of the pastors in the church just beside the bungalow that Uncle Tan and Auntie Sohyang were living. And being the patriarch of that extended family, what he said was final, and no one dared to challenge him. But on this occasion, he was sick with some serious heart problem in hospital where his wife was the matron. Uncle Tan and Auntie Sohyang, they were not Christians. But how do you talk to a family patriarch who is sick in the hospital about Jesus? The answer is passionate, persistent, passionate praying. You see, at that time, I was equipping some believers in the church in evangelism using the evangelism explosion method. And I was telling the trainees about the importance of prayer in breaking down the spiritual bondage that Satan had over people's lives. And so there was this young lady at that time, her name Kim Lian, who heard what I said, that the importance of persistent, passionate praying for her unsaved loved ones, that's the way to open the heart and mind to the gospel. And so for a few months, God would wake her up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. in the morning and put a heavy burden on her heart to pray for her extended family. And so she would get out of her bed and she would kneel beside her bed and she would pray very passionately for her unsaved loved one in the extended family, including this patriarch, Uncle Tan. And she would cry out to the Lord in tears for their souls and for their salvation. And that went on for many nights over a period of a few months. And so when Uncle Tan was warded in hospital for his heart problem, his niece, this young girl, Kim Lian, had been travailing in prayer for him for a few months already. And being EE trained, she decided to share the gospel with her uncle in the hospital. Remember, he's the patriarch of the extended family. And you don't talk to the patriarch unless he talks to you first, especially if you are a girl. But emboldened by the Holy Spirit, and after traveling in prayer for her uncle for a few months, Kim Lian, this young lady, made the first move. She visited her uncle in a hospital, but he was asleep most of the time. At other times, some other relatives were there visiting, or he would be feeling drowsy because of the medication. But she never gave up. She would even make a few trips a day, praying and hoping to catch her uncle alone and alert enough to listen to her talk about Jesus. Finally, one day, Uncle Tan was alone and alert. And more importantly, he was open to the good news about Jesus Christ. So to cut the long story short, Uncle Tan gave his heart to Jesus one afternoon. And so did his wife, Auntie Sohyang. And I had the privilege of baptizing both of them. I spent the next year studying the Gospel of John with them as a follow-up in their home. Kim Lian's mother, Auntie Helen, joined the Bible study near the beginning, and very soon she also gave her heart to Jesus. By the way, Auntie Helen came and joined our GYF, right? Our Golden Years Fellowship earlier this year, because she's staying in Pasir Ris. And so over time, two more aunties and one more uncle in that extended family also gave their hearts to Jesus. So altogether, 6 elderly people in that extended family finally came to know Jesus. And it all started because a young lady in that extended family was prompted by the Holy Spirit to wake up in the middle of the night to pray passionately for her unsaved loved ones over a period of a few months. Not just one or two nights, but over a period of a few months. You see, brothers and sisters, salvation of people is not human work. Salvation is God's work. And also we need to pray, Lord, would you touch that heart? Would you open up that heart, that mind that is blocked, to receive your word? Would you remove that mental block? Would you remove the spiritual blindfold that the devil had put on my loved one? And you may have to pray for months and even for years, but you need to keep praying until God opened those doors. For example, the brother of Uncle Tan, Uncle Sin Ho, and his wife came to know Jesus more than 10 years later. And so that was, I believe, God answering our persistent, persevering prayer for them. And then when those doors are open, we need to pray that God would give us the mental clarity to share the gospel clearly so that people can understand and receive it. Prayer opens up opportunities for us and make us mentally sharp in sharing the good news very clearly and relevantly to people. So Paul covers the prayers of the Colossian Christians so that he may proclaim the mystery of Christ, so that he may make it clear to them. See, the gospel message is very simple. And this simple message of the gospel has been saving souls for many years. And that often happens when God's people devote themselves in prevailing prayer. So that's the first point. Second point, prayer opens up opportunities. And then thirdly and finally, prayer enhances our effectiveness. Verses 5 to 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Prayer enhances our effectiveness by giving us wisdom in our dealings with outsiders, the pre-believers. Paul says that we are to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. He's talking about pre-believers here. That means living a life that attracts people who have yet to know Christ to want to come to know him. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. So what does salt do? Salt creates thirst. As believers, we are in this world to create a thirst in people to want to come to know Jesus. In other words, by the way we live our life, we make Christ attractive to pre-believers. That's what Colossians 3 is all about, right? We talked about it last week. Jesus becomes very attractive to outsiders when they see we who are Christ's followers loving one another, forgiving one another, being honest with one another, compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Jesus becomes very attractive to outsiders when they see husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands, children obeying their parents and parents encouraging their kids and not being harsh with them. Jesus becomes very attractive to outsiders when they see employers respecting and obeying their bosses, doing an outstanding job even when the boss is not around, and when they see employers and bosses treating their workers fairly and well and appreciating them fostering a good team spirit. You know, when we gather back in church to worship God, that will be a few months from now, Jesus becomes very attractive when outsiders step into this sanctuary on a Sunday morning and they see people who are authentic and very passionate in our worship of God, that we are not going through the motion, that we are truly worshiping God. We are authentic and sincere in our worship of Christ. And when they discover that we are a church who cares for one another, who cares for people who are in need, and who doesn't judge other people, and when they hear a preaching that are clear and relevant, that they can understand, and where they can relate to, they will be amazed. They will be drawn to Christ. Prayer enhances our effectiveness by not only giving us wisdom, but also by giving us boldness to seize every opportunity. And Paul says that we should make the most of every opportunity. And so the Greek word here actually means to buy up or to redeem, to make the most or to make the best. So that's the meaning of the word. And the word time here is not the other Greek word, which is chronos, which talk about time as, say for someone now is 12:05, that's the time. But this kairos refer to time as a special opportunity, is something that God gave us that we must seize. And that is the meaning of the word kairos. Seize every opportunity. Make the most of it. And we need boldness in order to do that. God, we should pray, God, give me boldness so that whenever you open the doors to share the gospel with somebody this week, I wouldn't back off. I would seize the opportunity. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't procrastinate. Brothers and sisters, may we seize the opportunity to share Christ. About several weeks back during the circuit breaker, when it was on, I think, Friday afternoon, if I remember correctly, I received SMS message from Daniel, our AV personnel, and he was saying that his father was sick in the hospital and whether I could go down and pray for his dad. And of course, this is an opportunity. And I said, yes, I will come down to Changi General Hospital. And Pastor Andrew also went there because Pastor Andrew was nearer. He was there first. And I heard later on, when I arrived at the General Hospital, I heard that I saw Pastor Andrew. He was already there. And when Daniel's father heard that Pastor Andrew is a pastor, the first thing that came to his mind was that he wanted to be baptized. And so, to cut a long story short, when the nurses did what they need to do, we went in, and again, he affirmed that he wanted to be baptized. And so, we took the opportunity to baptize him that day. And the next day, we heard the sad news that he went home to be with the Lord. You see, God gave us an opportunity, and we did not procrastinate. If we had waited and said maybe next day or 2 days later, then we would have missed that opportunity. Whenever God opened the door of opportunity, you and I should be quick to seize it. That's what Paul means here, by seizing the opportunity. Prayer also makes us more effective by enabling us to graciously communicate the message of Christ in appealing ways. So verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. You know, our words, our speech has a lot of power. Our words have the power to build up or to tear down, to hurt or to heal. And our words have the power, thank God, to communicate the good news about Jesus Christ effectively. The good news that Jesus died so that people could come to know him, to know God personally, and then be with him in relationship eternally in heaven. It's the most powerful, the most exciting message that this world has ever heard. If any time the world needs this message, it is now, this season. And yet, we can make it sound like the most boring thing. And that ought not to be. What does it mean to let our speech be seasoned with full of grace? It means full of God, really, actually. Let it be full of God's grace. Let it be full of God's compassion, God's love, God's mercy, God's enthusiasm. Let it be full of God. What does it mean to be seasoned with salt? What was salt used for in the context of writing in the ancient world? I believe in those days it was used as a preservative, but it was also used as a flavor enhancement. And of course today we did that as well. We take salt and put it on food in order to enhance the taste of the food so that it would not have a bland flavor. That our speech should be seasoned with salt means that we need to share the gospel in a very appealing manner. You see, the word of God, the gospel is dynamic. We can make it exciting based on the level of excitement that we bring in our sharing. If you're not excited in sharing the gospel, then people won't be excited in receiving it. If we are excited about it, we will be excited in sharing it, and especially when we have been praying. And then we will communicate with excitement the people that we've been praying for. And we will be creative in our sharing. As response, let me say that prayer is very important in our Christian life. It connects us with God, and it connects us with all the provision, the resources that God has promised us through the power of prayer. The question is, do you and I really believe in the power of prayer? Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the church of Jesus Christ is not a house of entertainment, but it is a house of prayer. The great preacher Robert Murray McChinney once wrote, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. That is a very powerful statement that you and I must check our heart. If all that we are as people of God on our knees, that is all that we are. And I can, if I may paraphrase what he said here, what a church is on its knees before God, that it is, and nothing more. Then Samuel Chadwick said this. He said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Andrew Murray, who wrote a lot of books on prayer, said this, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. And Charles Spurgeon said this, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And Charles Spurgeon really believed in preaching, but he said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. See, brothers and sisters, for some strange reason, God ties the accomplishing of his will and mission to his people's willingness to pray. And this fact is underscored in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, when we find God getting ready to destroy the land because of the evil people in it. And this is what God said in Exodus 22 and verse 30. I look for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. This is God's statement. And that is Ezekiel, not Exodus, sorry. It's Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I believe our corporate prayer meeting is based on this word, that we stand in the gap for people that God laid upon our heart. The question is, brothers and sisters, will you and I be that man, that woman who will stand in the gap? Towards the end of this month, I think the fourth Friday, we will have a gap meeting online as an application. I hope you and I, we can come together online and join in praying to stand in the gap, in praying as God will lay his burden on our heart. Sometimes God's purposes are not accomplished because his people will not pray. So, brothers and sisters, let us stand in the gap for people within our spheres of influence, for people in our community here in Pasir Ris. And when we start to pray, God starts to act. So let us come together and let us pray for his glory. Amen. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we must seek your forgiveness for our prayerlessness, trusting in our own human strength and wisdom rather than trusting in your divine strength and wisdom. Thank you for reminding us from your word this morning that we have this special privilege and responsibility to be prayerfully dependent upon you. Father, you have made yourself and your resources at our disposal through prayer. And as we, your people, respond to your call to pray, manifest your power and your glory in our lives, in our family, in our workplaces, in our army camp, in our school, in our focus countries, in our community, as we see people's lives being touched, being healed, and transformed for your glory. Amen. And may God's people now receive his benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.